Turn your Bibles, will, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. On Sunday mornings, we went through a series of studying about the worship of our Lord God Almighty and aspects and facets of worship. In that, we've come to this, and as we found in that study, several passages that speak about worship and service in the Old Testament and the New. And so we have this of the subject of service also intertwined. Somewhat, they lap over one another. They are connected and tied together indeed, but they are distinct. And that's what we're looking to delve into and understand from the scriptures about this distinction of service versus worship. We have met together to worship our Lord today. That's the main thing that we look to do is to worship our Lord. There is a service aspect of it. But it is not all of service that we have before the Lord. We took a look about in these messages about how far did Jesus go in being a servant? How far did he go? Well, he went all the way, didn't he? He gave all. And then we took a look in a message about how far are you and I to go? Well, with our example, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to go all the way too, aren't we? And we're called to do so. And then last time, we started on this aspect of what are we his servants to do? We see that service is at hand, but what is it? How do you put your hands on it? What's it look like? What is it that they're to pursue? And what is there to do in service? As we made this transition from studying and looking into the scriptures about worship of our Lord, we took a look at, in the middle of that, before we went on to service, a message that dealt with this aspect. We are saved only by our Lord, by his power, by his salvation, his Savior, his graciousness unto us, not by works of righteousness which we have done. That's how we're saved. But then we also took a look in the scriptures about salvation will render and gender and bring works of righteousness unto our Lord. We are not saved by our works, but we are saved indeed unto good works. And therein lies much of this aspect of service. What do we do? What are we, his servants, to do? We saw last time how the Apostle Paul, in many cases, accounted himself and indicated himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, a servant of God. Other brethren that are there in the scriptures too, that count themselves and are fellow servants, it's mentioned, and servants of God. We took a look in Romans chapter 6 in the beginning of this about what are we, the Lord's servants? We know we are his servants, right? What are we to do? What is it that we're called to do in this service? And in Romans chapter 6, the scripture made it very clear, we were rescued from being the servants of unrighteousness. We were rescued from being the servants of sin. Sin, not to be personified, it's an aspect and a thing that mankind does. But in that reference, in that understanding, in that relaying unto us about this subject in the Word of God, sin is the master of man. And we serve it because naturally we are in bondage to it, bent towards it, want it, love it, and know nothing but it, sinning against God Almighty. And understand and remember that sin is the disobedience, the crossing, the disobeying of God's law. The Lord has set down and laid down the plummet line of truth for mankind. And when we cross that, we have sinned against God. We may do each other dirty and do each other wrong, mankind. But in all of that, we sin against God too, and mainly. And so we saw that we're not the servants of sin and of unrighteousness, but we are the servants of God. We're the servants of Jesus. We're the servants of righteousness and of holiness. And so we have that described unto us. But what is it? What is it? You know, something that you and I need to guard about. We all have to guard about. We all have to know. We have to know that this is the case. That our declaration of our faith, us saying words about what we believe and what we've been visited by and who we've been rescued by, we are tempted, and we have it naturally, for that just to be a big old pile of rhetoric. You know what rhetoric is? It's words said claiming a thing with no substance whatsoever. The scripture talks about being filled, being saved by the Lord, being, how does it go? Claiming God, but claiming salvation, but denying the power thereof. May God help us that we not be a rhetorical people. Rhetoric. Oh, good speech, good words. We need to guard against it. But then in our deeds, something else is shown. All connected in this of service. Well, we invite you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, again, where we see here and have it reaffirmed, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He starts that off in the book. He's a servant. The servant does what the master bids the servant do. And our master, our Lord, our King has bid us do some things. And we saw with others, as I mentioned earlier in last week's message, Brother Tychicus, Brother Epaphras, Brother James, Brother Peter, Brother Jude, and Brother John, all it was declared, or they declared themselves, the servants, the knee-bowing servants, as our sisters sang, bow the knee unto servitude and obedience and clinging on his every word of what he wants us to do. We took a look at Romans 6 last time, and invite you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 this morning. And what we want to be on the lookout here is that describes service. That which describes the legs on the service, the works, the obedience to the Lord, and what he has called us unto. Service is indeed mentioned in this passage. And may the Lord help us that these things be drilled down in our hearts, they become a part of us, and that we not by rhetoric claim that we serve and walk with the Lord, but that we are doers of the Word of God, like Brother James says, and not just hearers only. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, the mercies of God extended unto us and what he has done for us more than we can ever think to be able to begin to pay back. The mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. But this old flesh and mind that is still not saved, your body is not saved. In obedience to the Lord, your mind and your lives can be saved, the living life that we have and the rest of this time that we have. Our souls are saved. The Spirit of God lives within. We have been rescued indeed, but this old body, this old man, this old mind, it has not been saved. And it needs held down. It needs beat down. It needs strapped down by the Word of God and obedience of the Lord. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Sacrifice speaks of service, does it not? Not what you will, not what I will, but Lord, what do you want? Lord, what do you want? A sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable. It's just getting started. Being a child of God, being a servant of the Lord, it's just reasonable to step up and that our very physical being and what we are and our life going forward be surrendered and sacrificed unto our Lord. That's just reasonable. Because you know what? All the service that we can serve the Lord in and with for the rest of our days from the time we've been saved will never even touch in return what the Lord has done for us in saving us. And brothers and sisters, not only has he saved us, but he's shown us truth about his word and showed us about his church and showed us about his mission and his purpose ongoing and the salvation of lives and the salvation of sinners going forward. You and I have a great blessing there too. We do. Let us not be proud about it. Let us be thankful for it, and let us pursue it and use it very well. He says, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service as a servant. And be not conformed, verse 2, unto this world. Don't look like the world. Don't shape up like the world. Don't smell like the world. Don't talk like the world. Don't behave like the world. We don't need to use, I steer away from using the word act. We might talk to our children, don't act like that. Well, thing is, none of it needs to be an act, does it? None of it needs to be in hypocrisy, does it? It needs to be in truth. It needs to be behavior befitting and becoming of our Lord and his children. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the mind, the conscience, can be affected by the word of God that he has given us if we will avail ourselves and feed upon his instruction, his information, his history, that he wants us to know about him and his working amongst our brothers and sisters before us, his instruction to us and what he's given us to do, how he wants us to live for him, what he wants us to stay away from. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. For what purpose? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That we might be a witness of our Lord and the world, our brothers and sisters, can look at us and say, that's the will of God. That's the way of God. That's the work of God. Just like the Lord Jesus says to brother to Nicodemus at that time there in John chapter 3. Sinners that love their sin, they don't want to come near the light. Because you know what? The light reproves them and rebukes them of their sin. Reproves and rebukes us of our sin. But they that are born of the light, they that are saved by the Lord, they like coming to the light. That their works may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God's working in me. God has saved me. The Lord Jesus has called me. And he's given me a directive. He's not just saved me so I can just wander out here in the ether. But he saved me for himself to do his bidding and his work as his child and as his servant. That we might prove, that it might be shown in us in the rest of our days, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Facets. Facets of service unto our Lord. Listen for them in this passage. For I say through the grace given unto me, and we've talked about grace here recently, it's a summary word of detailed things that the Lord has done unto us in every one of our situations, no matter what our background, no matter where we were, the Lord brought his word to visit us in particular. It was not a wholesale kind of thing. It was an individual kind of thing. People we put in your lives, people that had a burden for you, people that he impressed to tell you about the scripture, about the Lord Jesus, about the gospel, about your need. All of us, all of our accounts, all of our lives, every way that the Lord worked in our lives to bring us, not a one of us, no two can be compared to be the same. And the Lord didn't get a lick of that mixed up. And he knew particular what's going on inside, how to get your attention, how to get my attention, and brought us to salvation. Oh, the grace of God is great unto us indeed. He says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Facets of service. No big I's and little U's, amen, amongst the Lord's people, but servants indeed. To think soberly. There you go. That's another thing. Not to go around with rose-colored glasses, and I'm not saying that we should be down in the dumps. Some things make us sad. Some things get us down. Some things depress us. We have that. But we need to have a right outlook about the effect of things, the effect of sin upon us, upon our children, upon our families, upon our church. We need to have a sober outlook and understanding of judgment and what the accountability that we have as the children of God before him. the responsibility and privilege that we've been given in the work that he's given us to do. We need to have a sober and understanding of how bad hell indeed is. It's a terrible, terrible place for sinners to go. And in the lake of fire, if there could be anything worse, the lake of fire, which is the second death. We are saved. We need to have that in our hearts and our minds. And we have a burden for those around us that the Lord's put in our lives, that they need a Savior to be rescued from such. A sober understanding, not just denying things, to thinking that things won't touch us, things won't affect us. Well, that won't mess with me that way. You know what? You know what? A lot of things that you and I can get into and pursue. We think that something that's at hand, it's an easy solution. It's a self-wisdom kind of solution. And you know what we find out a lot of times is we, not consulting the Word of God, not consulting the way of God, not seeking the Lord's face in a thing, we crack that thing open. We think it's an easy solution, and it opens up a mess for us, our loved ones, our family, the future of our generations. And you know what? Like it said, we can't get it back in the box. Sober outlook. How do we get the sober outlook? From our Lord. This sober thinking. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We've taken a look at this about, well, I don't know if we have here or not. I've preached about this here in recent times, in the last several months. There is a measure that's given unto men and women. There's a measure of faith. There's a measure of the work of the Spirit that's given. That's the reason we need to pray unto our Lord for more. Now, Jesus, he's got all the Spirit of God, doesn't he? But you know what? Example. The Lord Jesus has the Spirit of vengeance and judgment of God. You and I don't. He's got all the Spirit of God. We've got the Spirit of God and have given to us the things, the lovely and wonderful attributes of peaceful things, and we need to be pursuing. Okay, just as an example, judgment is not ours, it is the Lord's. He says, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. There are those, and we are, and you know in your life, we start off being saved and we start off as an infant in Christ, don't we? And then we grow. We grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, the experience of the Lord, the surety of the hope of the Lord, by his word, by personal experience in our lives, in our brothers and sisters, in our church, our families, right? We're to be growing. And so there is that measure of faith that's dealt, and we need to pursuing that the Lord would help us, that we would grow in him. Verse number 4. Speaking in this church context, as he writes here to this church at Rome, for as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office in our physical bodies and even here in the church, so we being many are one body in Christ, speaking that's church-wise, and every one members one of another. We have a responsibility one to another. We have an obligation one to another. Brother Stephen mentioned it about something that Brother Hamill, he was his pastor, Brother Stephen's pastor for some years. He said, and this is a wonderful thing. This is a great quote, a great idea, a great thought that we need to keep in our hearts. The best thing you can do for your brothers and sisters in Christ is to be obedient to your Lord. That's the truth. That's what we need. That's the encouragement that we need, because the world out here cares nothing about the Lord, cares only about the way of the flesh, the way of the world system, the way of Satan, and it screams at us about the way that we ought to go into those things to do nothing but bring death. We need a good witness and a testimony of right good things, of following the Lord. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. We've seen that in 1 Corinthians, or from the book of 1 Corinthians there, as we took a look about the gifts that they had and their bad attitude about such. We have gifts. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. You got gifts? Use them for the Lord. Here's some particulars. And see, that of prophesying, that of handling the word of God, that is service. That is a work. Now, nothing new. There's not going to be any new word of God given unto us. But I tell you what, we've got enough here in front of us that we're going to take a lifetime to try to get a handle on. So let's be about that. Amen. He says, having then gifts differing according to grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, handling the word of God, handling the word of God in your personal life, handling the word of God and applying the word of God in your family life, applying the word of God in your personal life, applying the word of God in your family life, applying the word of God as we work. Applying the word of God as we serve our Lord and are here together in his church. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Let's tend to it. Got a ministry? Involved in a ministry? Do it. Pursue it. Be about it. Or he that teacheth on teaching. We've got teachers in our church. They don't need to be lackadaisical about the teaching, do they? Need to be diligent in pursuit of it. It's a gift given by God. It's part of their service. It's part of their service. They worship the Lord in that, but they serve the Lord in that because you know what? It takes time. It takes effort. It takes study. It takes pursuit. And that's what service takes, is effort. And saying, I'm not going to do what I would like to do, but I'm going to do this. Because the Lord has called me to do it. And I'm not saying that what the Lord has called us to do is distasteful. Okay? That let us not feel like that we're giving up so we can go ahead and get it done for the Lord. May our hearts be right that we be enthused and thankful and rejoicing that our Lord has called us unto the ministry, the works that he has called us unto. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So facets of service, they'll have to do with doing, don't they? They'll have to do with doing. Doing motivated by the instruction and the leadership and the word of God. The Lord tells us how to give. Let's say this is my offering. Oh, be careful. Brother Mark's going to be upset if I get the offering wet. Let's say this is my offering. Let's say this is my offering here. I've got it here. And I write it here. You see that? This is my offering. Got it? That's not too simple, is it? It's not too simple. Give it to where my right hand doesn't know what my left hand's doing. And the Lord will take care of that, right? All of this is the doing. You know what? In giving, I just picked the number here. In giving, you had to work for that. And of the heart had to be willing to yield that to the Lord. There's some that we owe the Lord, and then there's the rest that we offer the Lord, subject for another time. And so facets of our service indeed. Verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation. Let it not be faked. That's not the love that we have. It's not love. If it's faked, let it be true. Abhor that which is evil. Do you hate that which is evil? Do you abhor that which is evil? The wicked way of the world, the wickedness of the world that we've been rescued from. Shall we return to those things? Not in the service of our Lord. Not in the yielding of this body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. You know what it means to cleave? It means to hang on tight. Not just kind of hold hands, but to hang on. To hug it up. To cleave to that which is good. Verse 10. More facets. The facets of service described here unto us. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. You know, you got to do that. You got to work and pursue to be kindly affectioned one to another. Got to go out of your way to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. You know what it's said about siblings, right? Well, they might fight and scratch and claw. I have no physical siblings, so I'm told this. They fight and scratch and claw amongst themselves, but you let an outsider touch one of them, and you've got the whole gang on you. Why? They love one another. Even though they are maybe adversarial one to another, you let an outsider come in. They are tied together by that mutual bond of being brothers, being sisters. So we in Christ be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. You go first. No, you go first. You go first. Nobody gets in the building. But you know what? We need to prefer one another. We need to prefer one another. We need to seek one another's good. That's what we need to seek. Not slothful in business. Not slow in getting things done. Not putting things off and being the procrastinator, as certainly is in us, as in me to be. Not slothful in business, but diligent. You know, that's a doing thing, isn't it? It's a doing thing. Now, how would it be? Brother Mark said, well, I haven't got the treasurer's report this month. Brother Doug, Brother Mark, they worked on that for us. Said, you know, if we're looking here in July, and we're looking for July, he said, well, maybe by November I'll get that to you. That wouldn't be too good, would it? We wouldn't know where we stand between now and then. Doesn't really do us any good right now to get March's report, does it? As an example. We need to be diligent. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. You know, that's a subject that could be dealt with in a message all by itself. Fervent in spirit. Fervent, I mean, that's talking about, it speaks of zeal. What's the spirit that we have within us? The spirit of self? No, the spirit of our Lord within us. That's something we've got to work on and do. What's important to the Lord? What's important to the Lord in this life, the rest of the time that I've got? To be fervent in that. What's it say? Serving the Lord. In the midst of these facets of service, we've got this interjection here reminding us that we are servants of our Lord. Servants. What is it that we shall do? How is it that we shall serve? It goes on here. Listen to these. Rejoicing in hope. Are you a rejoicer in the hope that we have in Christ? Patient in tribulation. I tell you what, it's condemning to me. I'm not patient in tribulation. Forgive me, Lord. Help me. Help me to look to you. You are superintending everything. You know about it. It's not like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that. The Lord's dealing with his angels and ministering spirits unto mankind and his children. And the Lord says, oh, I realize that's been going on with Jim here the last few months. Really? You guys should have updated me sooner. That's not going on there. He knows it all. And he allows it, directs it, and can change it, and knows when he wants to bring me to a point of growing me up. That's our Lord. What's it say here? Continuing instant in prayer. You pray without ceasing. You know, it's something you got to do. Service. Works. Works in this old flesh, in this old mind. We got to take and get our minds, our hearts steered towards the prayer that we need to petition our Lord for. Much. We have much in supplication. We need to pray one for another. Pray for ourselves. Pray for our families. Pray for the unsaved. Pray for our missionaries. Just hold them up before the Lord. Things that we know about, we bring those in particular to the Lord. And then just them in general, we bring them up for the Lord. Because there's a lot of things we don't know about. But are we guilty of not bringing anything before the Lord? May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. Our service. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Now you got to use your feet and your hands to do that. Some thinking. Given to hospitality. You know, we're going to have somebody in the missions quarters every weekend this month. And that's not the only thing of hospitality, but that's your extension of hospitality. The church has provided such. And then me, myself, and Clarissa, we're the contact for such to make it so for them to come in. You know, Brother Kelly, by virtue of our monthly fellowship meeting, and then the Collins are here with us. Now, others have stopped by and stayed with us as they were passing through. I'm thankful that we are a hospitable church, and we need to seek to be more. Be hospitable. You got to do those things. You got to do it. Got to pursue it. Got to be willing and get up and do it. Bless them which persecute you. There you go. We all like that one. That one's easy. But that's a do one. You know, this thing of blessing, that's another message that's been milling around in the back of my mind. The Lord's, you know, don't tell somebody that has a false gospel Godspeed, but the Lord says to bless them that persecute you. You know what can happen? We can become overwrought about that, not giving Godspeed to somebody that has a false doctrine. And we should not be involved and partakers of other man's sins. But I tell you what, we need to pray that the Lord will bless sinners with the blessing they need from on high. Not bless them in their evil work, but bless them with the need of their souls, with the truth. Bless and curse not. Don't curse them, but bless them. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice. You know what you got to do? You got to come over there beside them and rejoice with them. And weep with them that weep. Yeah, when they're downtrodden and they're broken and they're hurting, you got to be willing to come alongside. Brother Jim, it's awkward. Yeah, sure, it's awkward, but just get over it. The Lord says, weep with those that weep. That's our service. We got to get in our car and be willing to go over there and do it. Sometimes people that are hurting and broken, just what they need is just for you to be there. It took me a while to understand that. Sometimes it's just better to be there, don't say a word, but just be there. Just be there. Just be in there. Be in there as a help that they were thought of. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, as Jesus did. He didn't come to call the righteous, did he? We called to call sinners to repentance. Be not wise in your own conceits. All self-wisdom. Self-wisdom, the wisdom of the world. In service to the Lord, don't go there. Don't go to self-wisdom. It's not to be found in the service of the Lord. Recompense no man evil for evil. Get back. Malice, grudging, vengeance. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Be honest. Be honest in everything. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Representing life, not death. You got to make an effort to do that, don't we? We got a purpose to do that. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Don't let anger get legs on it and become wrathful. To where we do something, we say something that we're going to be sorry for. Do something or say something that we're going to wish later we could take back. Do something, say something that's going to be so harmful and so injurious to our brother, to our sister, that the scripture says it's going to be like a fortress to be able to get undone. Lord, forgive me where I've done that. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He has the spirit of vengeance and of judgment, but you and I don't. It's not given unto us. You know, isn't that great? You think we're given love and peace and joy, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. That's what we're given. All that good stuff, every attribute, every purpose and pursuit of the Lord is holy and righteous. But understand what's been given to us. I'm going to have to get these messages and preach them so you can know, you can understand where I'm coming from. But see, wrath. Are you and I to be wrathful? No, because we can't do it right. Are you and I to engage in fury? I tell you what, the Lord says he's going to pour out his fury upon the unrepentant and unbelieving, the rebellious. He'll do it right. You and I can never get it right. You see that? And so our Lord, giving us all the wonderful, peaceful things of His Spirit, takes care of these other things that have to take men and deal with mankind and men and their sin and judgment and condemnation. And it's like a Heavenly Father just says, step back, children, I'll take care of these things.
Right.
Isn't that what a father does for his child? Says, step back, I'll protect you. Step back, I'll take care of this. That's what the Lord does for us. And He's given us all the pleasant aspect. I don't know how else to describe it. The pleasant aspects of the Spirit for us to pursue and enjoy and engage one another and the world with. He'll take care of the judgment. He'll take care of the wrath. He'll take care of the anger. He'll take care of the fury. And He will do it right.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Lord, you know. Verse number 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, give him something to eat, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, when you're doing that, it's going to burn hotter. Don't be thinking that. No, that's not what it is. Not even vengeful in heart. Ours should be, Lord, may your peace and your love and long-suffering to men like me, sinners like me, redound to the saving of this one, too. That's our pursuit, the saving of men's lives, not the destruction. What's he ended up this chapter with? Be not overcome with evil. Evil overcoming us. We sin, we presume as the children of God. That's the context the children of God are being written to. Evil overcomes us because of our presumption, our pursuit of sin, our not pursuing these facets and aspects of service. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. With good. Overcome. Who's sufficient for these things? Only the Lord that lives within us. Amen? But that's what he's called us into. In conclusion and application, again, the chapter contains it. In verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, as we ask this question, what are we his servants to do in service? I beg you, brethren, I beg you by the mercies of God extended to you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service as a servant. It's just... Who would think anything else? It's reasonable. And there in verse number 11, it's not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Our works, our pursuit, and our doing.